to the Fondcast. I'm Stefan Rudd. American sovereignty and American liberty, our freedoms, our rights. When you wake up in the morning and you don't hear bombs going off behind you, you don't hear buildings crackling to the ground, you don't hear people screaming in the streets, running in fear. When you put your kids on the bus in the morning and you don't worry about them not coming home. These things that are provided to us by having a strong and effective and powerful military. There is no freedom without an effective, powerful military. There is no liberty. As a matter of fact, where there is no strong military that is for the people and not for tyranny, then you have tyranny. When the military is corrupted and is turned the opposite way, when it is politicized, it becomes tyrannical. And it works to prop up a leader that will give them the commands that they want to hear, which is the commands to take over the country, to impose lockdowns, to destroy the community, to do the bidding and the will of a dictator. But when you have a strong country and you're able to go to the store and not have to carry an AK on your AK-47 on your arm, you know, you can go to the store and not worry about some bomber with some kid with a bomb on his chest running up to you and blowing you up. When you're not worried about a missile flying over your head out of nowhere and landing somewhere where you either were or could be. I mean, these things are achieved by a strong military force. Yet, you'll be hard-pressed to get anyone on the left to acknowledge that. You'll be hard-pressed to get a Democrat or a liberal to give the military even any credit. Do you know anyone else who is willing to lose a part of their own humanity? Let's be real, y'all. If you're going to be in the military, you have to be willing to take people's lives. Not because you are a terrorist, not because you are a traitor to humanity, not because you are an evil person, but because you have to defend a bunch of people back at home who may not even like you. They may not even respect you. You're going to do all that work and you're going to go home and they might cuss you out. They might even get down on one knee in protest of the country you just defended. You have to be willing to take people's lives just so that you can save lives back at home who would never thank you, who would never appreciate you, who would never, you know, it's a sacrifice. Because when you, and we're going to have to be real, and I'm be real here, and I'm not impugning at all soldiers, because I'm trying to give you an idea. Some of you would need therapy if you had to take someone's life. You would need therapy. You would need therapy for life. Some of you out there couldn't even handle the horrors of seeing a bomb going off over here and removing someone's entire leg. taking off half their face in defense of a country who would never thank them. And you would think that the soldiers would come home from the war, come home from defending our country, and have a mansion, and have Rolls Royces in a mansion, have a driver, and just live a life in luxury. But instead, we give that to the football players, to the basketball players, to the NBA players, you know, to the Major League Baseball players. We give it to the sports players, the wrestlers. Are you hearing me? Who don't sacrifice nothing for this great republic. Nothing. And yet these soldiers come home and they can't find jobs. They're put on disability. You know, because they got, you know, different kind of issues going on. I know a lot of soldiers. A family of soldiers, you know, a family of soldiers and former this, former that, Marine, Navy, Army. I mean, I can go on. These people come home scarred. The ones that get deployed overseas, that is. Scarred. I have a brother who's Navy SEAL. Come home scarred. The baddest dude you would know. I'm telling you, he is bad. I mean, he's like a master at Wing Chun. And all, this dude is bad, okay? He's actually fought in the UFC and was 3-0 before he decided he didn't want to do that anymore because he wasn't getting paid the money he deserved. This dude is bad. Navy SEAL. And he has, a lot of, you know, issues internally from what he's seen, what he's experienced. And the reality is they're willing to put their bodies, their minds, their mentalities on a line to protect people who may not even say thank you. And we have Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. They can't even come on the camera and wish everyone a happy Memorial Day weekend. They called it the long weekend. Enjoy your long weekend. Are you kidding me? When the only reason why you're able to pretend to be the president and the vice president is because of these great men and women who went out there to do the dirty work, so that you wouldn't have to speak Chinese or speak German in your own country. I mean, these soldiers, they do a heck of a job maintaining their composure through all of that. A heck of a job. They come home and get labeled a threat. They're, you know, you always see them in the movies. Hollywood has them painted as the crazy ones. Every time there's a crazy guy taking off heads in the streets, you know, with snipers and whatnot, is always some. They always find out it's some crazy Navy, former Navy SEAL that went crazy. When we know that every time we've seen a shooting of that kind in this country, it's been some crazy. Some crazy liberal who was probably paid by George Soros. Some crazy overprivileged liberal. I don't mean white privileged. I mean financially privileged, overly privileged male, young male liberal that's doing all these killings. And so we have a great military, y'all. They are special. They are amazing. And we honor them today on this great day, on this sad day, actually. Okay, y'all. So I was on Facebook, and Facebook gave me a permanent ban just about 4 or 5 days ago. I was getting phone calls from people, and I didn't know why. And then I went online to see if I could read some comments or read some posts on Facebook. I could look at stuff, but I couldn't comment or like. And I found out that they had permanently disabled my account. So that means that, and this is the main account. So this wasn't the backup account. This is the main one. So that one post that I got banned for talking about the reset of the economy, and that's why Bill Gates and what's the guy's name, Jeff Bezos, were getting divorced. They were hiding assets. That's the post that got me taken down. Okay, and then for 30 days. Then after 2 weeks, they gave me, you know, a permanent ban for the same post. So I must be on to something. I must be right about something is coming. Because even now, the news is saying that that Bill Clinton and his wife, even though he's probably dead already, they're getting divorced. So we're seeing these high profile divorces coming out of nowhere, out of everywhere. I mean, it would surprise me if Mark Zuckerberg gets a divorce, and if we see Mark get a divorce and Jack Dorsey get a divorce, then we know what's coming. But anyway, so I'm not on Facebook anymore. I won't create any more accounts. I do have that one last backup account, but I can't even comment anymore. And that's probably going to be deleted too soon. So I wouldn't even waste time with that. So I am done with Facebook for now on. Okay. I'm on Telegram at t.me/StephanRudd. I'm also on Gab. I'm on Gab a lot more now than before. So Gab at PHONFON. I'm on Rumble. This video, this audio rather, will be on rumble.com as a video file with no images, no videos there. It'd just be a still shot of an image, whatever, until I get things ready for the video part of the podcast. So rumble.com/C/StephanRudd. And you can subscribe there. And I'm also back on the Apple podcast and the Google and everything else. So you can still listen to it, you know, that way or on rumble.com. Okay. My website is stephancast.com. Okay. So, we've already had a pretty long week last week. Stuff was going on in the news concerning the election fraud, everything. And, you know, it's beginning to escalate now as I'm seeing it. But we're going to see things move a lot faster moving forward, because now we're getting to the part where they already know it's over. It's a wrap. And so they're going to start to ramp up some things. They're going to start to start false flags. We're seeing shootings that we're now. And this is all, these are all a sign of panic. Okay. Now, the Q boys, you know, they mentioned this 11.3, right? And when they talked about Podesta being arrested, it brought up 11.3. Now we know that, you know, Podesta wasn't arrested around the time that 11.3 happened, which 11.3, we believe this is all theory from everyone who's discussing it, even me. And this came from X-22 report with Dave, and I think they were all trying to figure out what it means. So this is, we're going to put this here in a category of theory, but we're going to use, you know, a possible reference point to try to figure out what's going on here, right? So so that 11.3 was mentioning, we believe it was mentioning one of the laws in the DOD's law of war manual. Okay, it was written in 2015 by Stephen Preston, who was the former general counsel of the general counsel of the what do you call it? My mind is actually slipping right now. It's slipping my. Excuse me. He was general counsel of the general counsel of the I get it. Department of Defense. Okay. So he was general counsel of the Department of Defense in 2015, and he wrote around this time when he wrote the piece or the law manual. Now this thing is like 1,000 pages long, so it's pretty long. But I did want to go over a couple of things here that are in it, because you can't read all this here on a podcast. It just be one long reading session. So I want to highlight a few things here. Now, this wasn't mentioned on the Q boards, 11.2, but 11.2 does explain when the military can occupy territories, right? So let me read a little bit of this here to you. This is 11.2.1 in the DOD Law of War Manual. It says here, 11.2.1, the title is Military Occupation as a Fact. Okay, I'm going to skip down to paragraph 2. The fact of occupation is the basis of the occupying power to exercise authority over the occupied territory, which just basically means that they want to control the region. The fact of occupation as a requirement for the exercise of authority over the occupied territory prevents a state from simply claiming authorities of military government over an enemy territory without actually controlling such territory. So another way of saying is you can't claim authority over the territory. You can't claim military occupation over the territory if you have no superiority over the area. In other words, you have to go in there and actually take over the territory first. And then you proclaim, you know, it to be, you know, an occupied zone. Okay. So that's I'm giving you some backdrops here before we get to the next part here. The fact of occupation also imposes certain duties on the occupying power with respect to the occupied territory. The fact of occupation as a requirement for triggering the duties of an occupying power, which would be the military force, means that the state does not, in fact, occupy an area, does not occur. But basically what it's saying here, it's just saying that you have to show force. You can't say we have this area, we control it. Okay, you have to show force. You have to show superiority over the area, move into the area, and then take it over, right? Now let me move on to 11.2.2. It says the standard for determining when territory is considered to be occupied. Okay, territory is considered territory is considered occupied when it actually when it's actually placed under the authority of the hostile forces. So, in other words, what you're saying here is, if a hostile force comes in to a territory and claims it and places it under their authority, then it becomes, then they can say that, okay, this is occupied now. Territory. And now the military can move in and they can occupy that territory because the hostiles are there. And see, this is what happened on January 20th. Or rather, not even that, it happened on January 6th, because if you notice, the January 6th thing, when it happened, and then they, they went in there and they certified an election illegally, right? It was already certified, but they counted the votes and they solidified the entire thing. Okay. At that point, this is why Donald Trump left the area. Trump left the area. When January 6th happened, if you notice, Trump got up. He didn't even he made one statement that was pre-recorded, by the way. When he said, go home. Everything that was recorded in the spring, you can tell by the way the grass looked. He was wearing it was cold. It was freezing that day. He had on just a regular suit, no hat, no gloves, no jacket, just a suit. Okay, that was recorded earlier, months before. So when January 6th happened, right, Trump, you know, if you notice, he just kind of went missing. He just left. And he went, and I know for a fact that he, from Monkey Works, he got on Air Force One and flew to Texas. Was it Aberdeen? Where the largest command center is. He went there. Okay. So, that same day, what happened? They brought in the military, the National Guard, right? Okay. Now, don't mind the fact that the media is saying that they called in the Guard. I'm just trying to give you, you know, some clues here that you can use to understand what's happening here. So that occurred, right? Then there was the insurrection, which wasn't the Trump supporters that was causing it. It was the people on the inside who we know that they let people in the building. I mean, by the way, there's no way these people breached the White House by pulling on the doors until the doors finally let up. These doors are like the military grade doors. They are controlled by a magnetic lock. Are you serious? You can put a, someone said that you can put a truck, you can get your truck and tie a chain to the doors and take off with the truck. And all you would do is pull the handles off the door. The door wouldn't even budge. Okay, that's how strong those doors are at the Capitol. And the media says these people pulled on the door until the door gave way and they broke in. No, they were let in. So the people caused the insurrection were on the floor, getting ready to count the votes in favor of Biden, knowing there was fraud, right? Because when there's fraud, by law, the military is required to tell everyone in Congress that they found fraud. So that means that the moment the elections were over, the military already consulted everyone and said, look, we found some fraud here. And so they had plenty of time to stop it. They knew what they were doing. Even, you know, after, you know, the state certified it, the state certified the elections in December. They knew before then there was fraud because by law, the military is required to report what they found to the Congress. I can't remember what law it is offhand, but it's law. So they were told beforehand that there was fraud. They knew it. They still counted the votes and still went, you know, and got into the White House. Okay. So, when they counted the votes on the 6th, that was when we had the commotion going on where really there wasn't supposed to be all of that, right? But the deep state, the people on the inside of that building, they needed a distraction. They needed a way to justify. I'm going to say, I believe they actually were going to get arrested that day. This is my own opinion. I have no intel at all on this. Okay, I believe on the 6th of January, they were all about to get arrested, and they knew it. So they had the commotion staged the way it was, so that they could escape being arrested, and now the optics of them being arrested during that setting would have been, you know, too much for Trump to overcome. It would have looked like, you know, Trump was trying to leave or trying to stay in the White House by force, and he was arresting his enemies that won the election for real. So that was their plan, and I believe that he was getting ready to arrest them that day. However, the commotion pushed, you know, that plan back, and they knew it was coming, obviously, because they had plants that were in Antifa. That were giving them intel, so that's how they knew it was coming. So anyway, on January 6th, we've seen them after the whole thing happened. They brought in the military, They didn't bring it before when they had when they were given warnings by the FBI that there would be a breach, you know, on the Capitol on this day. They didn't care about this stuff. They didn't care about, you know, preventing it. They wanted it to happen because it was their way to escape going to jail. Very smart strategy. So after that, on the same day, they have military occupation, but they didn't call it. They call it calling in. Remember now, Q also said that they're going to move in the military, okay, to occupy the area under the guise of riot control. I can't remember what post it is. So they were going to move in the military under the guise of riot control. And that was a way of getting them there. So the military came in to occupy the territory, not because of the rioters, because it wasn't really rioting. It was because of the people in that building. And what was the first thing they did? They built a fence around the Capitol. They built layers of fencing around the Capitol, layers of fencing around the White House, because they were occupying. Have you ever seen them erect a fence so fast before in your life? I mean, it was so fast. It was like within days. It was up. I'm getting ahead of myself. So let me go ahead back here and read some more here. 11.2.2.1, right? Okay, says this is entitled Actually Placed Effectiveness of Occupation. Military occupation must be actual and effective. That is, the organized resistance must have been overcome, and the occupying power must have taken measures to establish its authority. So now what we're saying here is, yes, the military can only, you know, be placed in there for occupation if the hostile force is subdued, you know, so to speak here. And these guys don't have any guns, you know, so Biden and the Congress, whatever, they don't have any guns. So they were already subdued before they even got there, right? And also, they had to be taking measures to establishing authority in that area, and they were. They illegally certified an election, illegally made it official, and they took offices illegally with the intent to pass legislations at some point in time that was going to destroy the country. So let me move on here. It says, let me go into 11.2.2.2. Okay, let me actually skip down to 11.3 here. I mean, I'm sorry, 11.2.3, I think it is. Because if I read the whole thing, it'd be too long. There's someone in here that I didn't highlight. I forgot to highlight it. That says that they have to, they don't have to have people on the ground. Let me do this here. It is sufficient that the occupying force can, within reasonable time, send detachments or forces to enforce its authority within the occupied district. Military occupation does not require the presence of military. Here we go. So they don't have to be there at all, right? Forces in every populated area, although the occupying force must control the most important places. So the entire city, which is DC, which is not U.S. soil, is foreign soil. They're really occupying DC, but they do not have to, you know, control all DC. They can only control. They only have to control the areas where the hostility is at where the power is, wherever the centerpiece of power is, and that would be the White House and the Congress building, the Capitol building, right? So that's where the seat of power is right now. So they built a fence around the seat of power. That was the whole point. because they have the control of that now. And contain it. Okay. Now, in this piece here, it states that having an air superiority is not enough. You need people on the ground, but not in every area. So DC itself is under lockdown, or under occupation, because it's not foreign soil. I mean, it's not American soil. However, they are supposed to lock down the most dangerous areas, so to speak. All right, let me go on because I'm getting too long here. Let me move on to the next part here. This is the part here I want you to already hear. Okay, so 11.2.4 says the proclamation of occupation. Due to the special relations established between the civilian population of the occupied territory and the occupying power, the fact of military occupation and the territory over which it extends should be made known to the citizens of the occupied territory and to other states. So in other words, they're supposed to talk to everyone, say, hey, y'all, we're occupying this zone here, okay? And there's a reason why. However, watch this here. However, there is no specific legal requirement that the occupying power issue a proclamation of military occupation. So in other words, dang, I say nothing, y'all. They can go over there and just take over the land and not say a thing. Legally, they don't have to tell us this. So people say, well, how come they ain't telling us that they're occupying the area, Stefan? Because they ain't got to. They don't have to tell us. They can take over the area under their own authority. They can announce it. They don't have to announce it. Now, why would they announce it? Here we go. The question of whether territory is occupied does not depend on this isn't the part I wanted to read. Where's it at? I'll find it for you, and then I'm gonna come back and read that part again. See here. Didn't quite highlight. I thought I highlighted everything in here, but it didn't save. But it states that there's a reason for stating that they are there, and that is number one, to establish when. I'll just tell you what it says, because I've read it last night and days before that. I read it again last night. But anyway, there's a part in there where it says that they will only tell you this stuff, tell you that they are there to occupy the area. Number one, to establish their timeline of when it started, because they only have a year. So you have to, from the time they occupy the territory, they have 1 year. It's not, 180 days. It's not 2 months, like people were saying. It's a whole year. So they started in January 7th. So they have to January 7th of next year to be there, right? So they have to establish when they were there. So they would announce it. Also, is to establish, the second reason why they would announce it is to explain the rules, the new rules and laws for that zone, and the new rule. And what would it, and if you really think about it, isn't that what happened when this guy came on TV? He was the National Guard commandant, and came on TV and said that, it was CBS News, live TV, and he said he came in to it, to issue, basically to enforce the peaceful transfer of military power. He said it plain as day. On, I think it was what's the guy's name? Stephanopoulos, or something like that, whatever his name is. George Stephanopoulos show. And he said we came in to basically establish a peaceful transfer of military power. So they made the proclamation right there. And this is on the 7th, or the 8th of January last year. And I find that video and remind everybody, everyone on Facebook. But he said that. So he's saying that established the timeline that we are occupying. They didn't care what the media did, what the media said. The media taking credit for, the Democrats taking credit for calling the guard there in the media. They don't care about that stuff. And as a matter of fact, they probably wanted the media, the Democrats, to take credit for it in the media, because then it keeps civility in the area. There's no rioting in the area. If they were told, "Hey, y'all, the military is running a coup on us," then you have riots in the area. But they were called there to basically occupy the area. But the media took the narrative and said, "Hey, we're the ones controlling everything. We called them here." Okay. So they put the fence around only y'all, and they wouldn't let y'all leave because you called them there. Okay. So anyway, so they didn't mind that part. They were called there, or rather, they were sent there by whoever, probably Trump, to occupy the area, to keep it on lockdown, to keep the Biden admin and whatever from doing any more damage. Okay. And now here we go here. This is 11.2.4 still. It says, a proclamation may help fix the date. The date of the beginning of the occupation. The proclamation may also advise inhabitants on occupied territory of the rules with which they must comply. In particular, the proclamation may be used to advise inhabitants of changes to law, including penal law. So there could be changes to law if it gets that far. Curfews issued, whatever. The general practice of the United States has been to make the fact of occupation known by proclamation or similar notice. In addition to giving notice to inhabitants of occupation, let me stop here for a minute. That part there is very, very important, y'all. It says, the general practice of the United States has been to make the fact of occupation known by proclamation or similar notice. So, and then there's another area where I'm going to tell you what it says. I'm going to read to you. But they have to inform the other countries, other governments, that they are occupying the area. Now, why is that important? Because they have to tell not only, the UN and China and Iran and, because there are other governments, but they also have to, because this is happening in the U.S., they have to tell the states that this is an occupied zone, that the military is occupying the zone because the inhabitants inside of the zone are hostile. Now, this is very, very important, y'all. Very, very important. This is why Trump, I believe, decided to let them take the White House. Here's why. Everyone knows. The Democrats know. Republicans know. China knows. Iran knows. Russia knows. North Korea, we can name it. Just name a sovereign government. They know that the military has occupied the zone and has declared that the people inside the zone, not all of them, but just in general, the people inside of the zone that were trying to establish authority over the country, they know that the military already declared them to be hostile. Now, why is that important? Because now that they are, and not only just them, he told the state governors, he told the mayors. Because remember now, the state and the federal government are separate entities. They're separate. They work together on things, but the states can do whatever they want to do a lot of times. They can succeed, from the country they want to. Are you hearing me? So, it's basically another government. So, they were told, every governor was told, that it was a military occupation because the people inside established authority and were hostile. Every country was told. Every world leader was told. Now watch this. And then we saw who still supported Joe Biden as president after being told. Are you hearing me here? And what we found out that Boris Johnson wasn't really a Trump fan. Netanyahu wasn't really a Trump fan. We find out various people, and I know he's from Israel. I'm not impugning Israel. I'm just stating the facts. He was calling Biden within hours, on the next day. You know, and now we're seeing the board clearly. So Trump, he would never have seen Boris Johnson. He would have never seen Netanyahu and some other guys. He would have never seen them. You know, come out. So these people that supported Joe Biden after being told that he was a rogue government, that he was in the hostile regime in the U.S. territory. And the governors and the mayors, the ones who supported him, that had control over government, either in the states or in their countries, were exposed as people who had position or a stake or a hand in the steal. Now, who didn't, you know, openly congratulate Joe Biden? Putin. Putin still has not, you know, recognized Joe Biden as president. Kim Jong-un. Hello. We can name people. We can go on down to governors. DeSantis. Abbott. I mean, we can go on. Think about all the people. All the countries, the few ones who did not have anything to say good about Joe Biden. They were the ones who were not involved with this steal. Every other country, sovereign nation that is, including Iran, they're not sovereign, but they are dangerous. They were all backing Biden and pushing for this new reset. Now they're asking, now they want to create a new currency. They're actually discussing making all the money digital. Hello. I told you it was coming, y'all. But now Trump can see the entire board that he couldn't see before. Oh, Boris Johnson. Oh, I thought you were friends, man. What? Netanyahu? Wow, dude. I'm the one that moved the embassy back to the Capitol. And this is how you pray me? I fought for you. So now Trump knows who to remove. So I'm not surprised that Netanyahu got removed from office. It's not a surprise to me, because Trump is able to see things now that he couldn't see before. Excuse me. So what if Trump had won? You know, he won, but what if he had gone into the White House after winning? Then there would be no military occupation, and there wouldn't be nobody to say, hey, they're hostile. They will all kiss his butt because they want him to, you know, ease up on sanctions and whatever. But because he let them get in the office, he let them create a hostile, establishing, you know, a hostile authority in the area. He was able to send in the military, and they were able to put the war out there. Now, this is not known to people because we don't know these laws, but in this document here, in the Law of War manual, it's there. Well, I didn't read that part because I skipped it. But there is it's in 11.2 somewhere. But they're supposed to tell everyone, you know, every country and every government what's happening here. And so now they all know. And they knew since January 7th or whatever, you know, they were told. And they still supported Joe Biden. And they still support him now. But you can tell which governors in the U.S., aren't with them, because you see them going against mask mandates. You see them going against vaccine passport IDs. You see everything that, you know, that Biden has been doing as far as EOs. They have been overriding those things. They've had judges in the areas that are throwing them out of the courts. Now, you know, I know the DHS still isn't building the wall down there. I get that, but this is because the head of the DHS was appointed by Joe Biden. And the head of the DHS is a hack, and because he's the head, he tells his employees, you better follow orders or you're fired, and they follow orders. But that doesn't mean they're honoring Joe Biden's as a statewide, the governors over there are honoring Joe Biden's EOs. He has, the governors have just as much control over their state as Trump had over his DOJ. Not much. So we have that going on. And of course, 11.3 discusses, when you pull out of the area. And I won't read that part because we don't have time here. But the point is, what we're seeing in the news here, all this stuff here in the news when they're down there and then the guard, security has been decreasing. They keep adding guards, removing guards. Then they, move a timeline up. But they don't know when they're going to leave. They didn't know when they want to leave. That's why they kept saying, well, we want to extend them. And then next day, if we want them to go home, why are they still here? Right. And then they find out, I guess, from somebody else that they're going to be here longer. And they try to say, well, we want to try to get them extended, till XYZ time. If you remember, you recall Pelosi, even back in February, she wanted to extend them longer, to March and be almost longer than March, beyond March. And the head of the National Guard, I forget his name, that commandant said, well, we don't have authority to extend it. Well, who's the control here? Because if the mayor wants it in the Turf City, and if Pelosi, the Congress, whatever, they can order the guard to come in there, or if Biden can do it, those are the three authorities here. You have the mayor of D.C., you have the Speaker of the House of Congress, and the president. Okay, they can all command the guard to come in there. So if one of the people who has started is saying we want to extend you longer than March, and he's saying, well, we don't have authority, but then who's the one giving the authority? And no one asked a question there. So that happened. And so then they finally extended it because somebody who had authority told them to go ahead and extend it. So they never knew when it would. They don't know how long they're going to be there. They come, they go, they swell up, lose people, and so on. So anyway, so they're just trying to hijack narratives and try to keep things, looking like they're in control. And really, they have no idea what's happening. They're freaking out. I went way too long on that part there. So here's a story that I saw the other day from OAN. It says, GOP senators urge Biden not to relocate detainees from Gitmo. Republican senators wrote a letter to Joe Biden regarding their... Well, let me skip the part there. They want paragraph two, what I want. They want to remove some Gitmo prisoners from the area. One of them is named... Safula Paracha, who was considered by the U.S. intelligence as a facilitator of financial transactions after 9/11 attacks. So basically, this is a terrorist. Lawmakers, she paid people off, basically, for the attacks. So they want to move people out of there. Now, I think that they want to actually get to somebody else in there. There's somebody in there they want to get to. And they're using this, you know, as cover. But it ain't going to work. So they're trying to move people from there. And now they're talking about shutting down Gitmo again. I wonder why. Everyone's going there. Everyone is going there right now. I mean, if you look at Monkey Works and his sit reps, he's showing like planes going in and out of there all week long. The last week, there have been like new visits to Gitmo. Who's going there? We don't know. We'll find out later. So probably Hillary's doubles, Podesta's doubles, you know, people's doubles, because they're already either wrestling or dead already. A lot of guys are. But they're getting their doubles and they're all going to Gitmo and probably getting tribunals, and because it's illegal to do that. You can't you know, pretend to be somebody else who has high security clearance. Come on. So that's happening. But this shows you how much panic is there. Like, they know their time is short. I'm going to read one more article to you. And I posted it on Telegram last night from the Epic Times here. The headline says, Arizona Senate considering expansion of Maricopa County 2020 election audit. They now want to include the entire state. Why is that important? Okay. If you found fraud in one county, that's good because it can overturn the election. But there will always be a question about, well, what if the other counties were cheating in favor of Trump? Because Maricopa County is largely Republican. So, now I know that sounds crazy. But, they're cheating for Biden. But yeah, people want to say, well, what about the other counties? So they're now talking about expanding it to the entire state. And see, here's the thing. They can overturn this thing with the county alone, right? But when you expand it to the state, you can find out how widespread the entire thing was. And then when you begin to expand anything like that, it takes on a life of its own. So it becomes a county issue, then a state issue. Then it's like, you know what? This machine we use all the country. Becomes a national issue. What's the point? They want to establish that the election was invalid. Now I know, Jen Ellis is on Twitter saying that, that there's no way that Trump can be reinstated. She responding harshly to Sidney Powell, who made the claim that they can just simply reinstate him as president. And so on, and now Jenna Ellis is saying that we're stuck with Joe Biden. People say, "Oh my God, you see what Jenna Ellis said?" Jenna Ellis is Trump's lawyer. I would believe that she was sent out there to say that, because when you have Sidney Powell out there saying, "Hey, we can have Trump reinstated," after this is over. Now he has to go out there and pretend that he's not a part of this thing. He has to go out there and make it look like he's not a part of the movement to get back in office. It has to look like the people are doing it. So he had his lawyer go out there and says, "Hey, there's no way in the world that Trump is going to be in office again this year over this." And it's not true, because for one, it's not her call. Now, her reasoning was, well, it's not a part of the Constitution. You're right. It's not, in a sense. But it is part of military law. And the military was set up in place to be the watchdogs of our Constitution. So if these people stole the election, right, and they're illegally in the hostile, then is their duty to overthrow that government, remove them. Now, there was an interview done by X-Twin Report, and who was the guy's name? I forget his name offhand. There was a guy that he interviewed on Friday. His name was Patrick, I think, Colbeck or something like that. And this was an interview done by Dave from X-Twin Report on Friday. And at some point on the interview, he asked him, well, what would happen if they proved the fraud in the election? Would they just reinstate Trump? Would they move Trump back to office again? Or would they remove Biden from office or what? And he was like, well, they probably wouldn't remove him from office. He said they probably would just have a temporary White House somewhere else. and the fact that he's saying that confirms things, because you know we've been hearing about that for a while now, that they might have the White House temporarily either at Mar-a-Lago or possibly in Texas somewhere. And so, and now, and by D.C. being foreign territory anyway, it's not even a part of the U.S. right now. So what, you know, this kind of leads me to believe that they want to establish a new government in a new area. And probably what Juan Savin, it was like a couple months ago before January 6th. I'm sorry, it was after January 6th, before they got inaugurated. And he said that you know, they want to build a wall around D.C. and flood it. And have it be unoccupied forever. Now I wonder if he was just talking trash or if it was true, but that kind of makes more sense now if they're going to move the White House somewhere else. If Joe Biden said, "Hey, you can have this spot here because you're not going to be leaving there anyway. We're going to turn it into a you know a camp, prison camp. You're already there." I'm just saying, this is my theory. If it's foreign soil, like a Gitmo is in Cuba, if it's foreign soil, then we don't have to, you know, treat it like as a, you know, like it's a part of America. It's now a part of the foreign territory, so we can use that territory for tribunals. Use it for, and that's probably, in my opinion, that's probably what they want to use it for. They want to remove, and when it's all over, they're probably going to leave Trump in Mar-a-Lago, or move him to Texas somewhere. Set up, you know, temporary White House over there. And for a while, they would do tribunals right there on the D.C. soil, I believe. So we're almost to the end here, y'all. I mean, what's happening in the news here is it's crazy how fast this audit thing is growing here. And people say, well, that's going to make it longer. It may. But it's beginning to expand to other states now. And we're seeing them panic big time. They want to shut down Gitmo, remove people from Gitmo to somewhere else. Probably want to free somebody over there. And when that happens, well, it ain't going to happen at all. But if they're saying this stuff now in the news, and we're seeing them trying to move these people out, shut it down, and they're trying to, we're about to discover these new facts about who stole the election and how. They're on the ropes, y'all. And we will see these changes come real soon. I think Code Monkey Z came in there and stated that Q drop that was from the Q boards was from an imposter. It was a guy that was, it wasn't him, it was somebody else that said that. I think it was Dave last night. Said that it was an imposter that posted that, and he was banned and deleted. But I believe that maybe that was a test to see what would happen. But it wasn't Q. However, I think Q might come alive soon. And we're gonna have everything move at lightning speed going forward. So. Maybe we'll get, you know, I wish, and after August or so, Trump will be back in office again. We will see. I hope Lindell was right. I hope Steve Bannon is right. He said August 15th. Be ready for something to happen around this date. That could be a red herring, but you know, I'm just repeating what he said. So if that is a real date for a real event, then I know we're all ready for it to all in. So we'll see what happens there. But just be in faith, y'all. And I'll see you tomorrow.